true, that spiritual, actual, factual answers to questions he asking. You find them inside you, beside you, reciting the records of Kashuk. We laughing, we drafting the passion through fabric. It's time for that comedy, dramedy, all of the fanciest, catchiest acronyms. Listeners, listen, we traveling. Consciousness is always unraveling. The reading you're having is mapping you back to your natural habitat. Abracadabra, it's magic, let's pass it. To top it off, the host are the classiest. Now, what were you asking for? All of the answers, what? All the answers.
Well, hi.
Hello. It's you. So
4 months? Five? Six?
I have no idea.
A year? It's been a year.
What is time? What is it?
I don't know. And so goddamn much has happened.
I know.
Banana pants.
Oh, I'm excited to catch up.
Oh, my God.
I want to say, for any listeners that exist, first, I think we should just talk about the podcast.
Yeah.
For a sec. And then we should do a catch up. And then we should do some kind of useful content.
Yeah. Let's be of service. The word content is also such an icky word.
You don't like it?
Well, I love it. I don't love it, but I use it all the time. But it's been like, I don't think that word really existed before like influencers and stuff. Like, and then it was all about, it's not about, I guess the word before would have been product, and now it's content. And those are both kind of gross, rather than like entertainment or information or art.
Oh, okay. I feel you.
Yeah.
Yeah, the world changed.
How dare.
How dare it.
Can't have that. Right. Okay. So we're going to talk about the podcast. What the hell are we doing? What's going on?
Well, so I reached a place of feeling like all the things in my life were happening out of rote habit.
Oof.
I had like locked in certain things. I always do this and I always do this and I always do that. And it was feeling weighty like this. And the podcast became part of that. It was like, I also like wasn't clear anymore what structure would feel good to me to shape each episode around.
Mm-hmm.
And we were kind of nebulous and I was fine with that for a while. And then it just started to feel like, there's no shape here at all.
Yeah.
And I feel obligated to show up to this thing that I'm like, what shape does it want to take now?
Yeah.
So then that was my impetus for saying, can we pause? And then we did. And then from my perspective, and of course I want to hear yours, enough time has gone by that I've been like, well, I miss doing that with Cass. I want to see Cass. I want to talk to Cass. I want to talk about consciousness and ideas and teach some stuff and maybe help some people and do some good and bring some sass. But I don't want to do it how we've been doing it. And for a while, I was like, I don't have an answer to how I want to do it, so we can't do it.
Right.
Then I was like, wait a minute. I know this much. I want to do it. And I don't want to do it regularly but that regular has to be every Friday, whatever, Monday, whatever.
Yeah.
But then I was like, right. So now I caught myself and realized we're talking here about strategy and authority, at least through my lens, right? I think we're talking about, you know, my strategy is respond and my authority is wait through the wave until there's clarity. And like that, and I have open ego. So this is not a consistent person you're looking at. I don't have a fixed ego with a lot of consistency. My rhythms and timing are not consistent. They're inconsistent.
Yeah.
And so it dawned on me, if we could do this in a way that is inconsistent, we can, then I'll be good.
Yeah.
And then I thought maybe that would work for you, knowing your chart a little bit.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the inconsistency thing, like, I think this is something we've struggled with all along, where for a while it was like, we were both very beholden to the idea of, you know, no, we've got to keep doing it weekly. And then at one point we went to biweekly only out of necessity, but we wanted to get back to weekly. And then we got back to weekly. And I was at some point proposing, well, what if we went back to biweekly? No, we got to do it weekly. Like, we were beholden to this idea of consistency on for the sake of our listeners, possibly because we're building a brand or something like that, you know, that maybe we'll get sponsorship. There's a lot of sort of, it was more about sort of, we loved doing it, but there was also this sort of goal maybe of having it become something of a thing, of a business. and which required, this is my interpretation, required some consistency and something like that. But as it's been sort of revealed, like, that didn't really happen. You know, the next level up, we got some amazing, we have an awesome group of people who listen to us, and the audience still was growing and stuff like that. But it wasn't this other level of, like, you know, somebody that we were beholden to because they were giving us money or anything like that. So,
yeah,
like, that was just part of the consistency idea. And it was also some need we had to, you know, commit to a project. But letting go of that,
yeah,
is super freeing. Like, when we first talked about trying to come back, we're like, maybe we do it monthly. And I love the idea. Really, it's no, let's just do it when we can, because then people will.
And when we want to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And people who are our listeners already, our awesome Woo crew, they'll get a ping on their phone when we drop a new episode, and they'll hopefully not be like, oh, well, it's been, it might be 6 weeks, it might be 2 weeks, it might be 3 months. We don't know.
Do you have something squishy that is hitting up against the microphone? Or is it maybe your jacket that you're wearing? There's like a, yeah, fabric sound.
It's my, that I'm worried. It's my vest. I'm going to take it off. It's my puffy vest.
Are you going to be cold?
No, I have a jacket.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you.
There we go.
Oh, yeah, you can already tell. It's gone.
Yeah.
Great.
I think for me, I got caught in other people's ideas about how this should go. Like, other people we brought in or that got brought in in various ways. But also, some of that was a projection of mine onto, some of it was just me projecting. And some of it was trying to, it was a little people pleasing, I think, on my part.
Yeah.
You know, just like, people say this is what we should do and they're helping, so it should, that's what we should do.
Right.
Didn't want to in my body. I don't have the energy for it. So anyway, it takes what it, this is a great, see, this is a great teaching moment, because
yeah,
this is the thing. This is how we learn. And you know, it's this comes up a lot with my clients. They'll say like, oh my God, I didn't follow strategy and authority, and then this thing happened. Like, as if God is watching from on high and waiting to punish you or take away points or something. For like, nobody cares. It's okay. This is how we learn. Like, literally, you learn how to follow strategy and authority by like not following it and seeing what you get.
Yeah.
And like, as long as you're not making moves like, I put, you know, I put the value of my house on the stock market on a whim.
Right.
You know, make some small choices. Then who cares? It's just, that's how we learn. But like, I think if you can take the lesson from it, which in this case is, don't do what your body doesn't have energy for, then you're good. Who cares? That's how you learned.
Anyway. Oh God. I mean, Katie, you know that that right there is the lesson of my last 48 hours.
Is it?
Yeah. Don't do anything your body doesn't have energy for.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yes.
You know, we can get into that. I think that's part of the catch-up.
Yeah.
Stories that we'll get to soon.
Well, it relates.
It relates, so yeah, massively. I mean, the short version is, I don't know how much we've even shared prior to, but the, I mean, here, dump, info dump. We're getting ready to sell this house that I've lived in for 25 years. And Rami and I are ultimately getting a very loving and wonderful divorce. Or we are, you know, making a change to the legal status of our relationship. And that's been a massive part of the last several months that's been going on since we've not been doing the podcast. But the thing that's relevant right now is we've been going through this process of going through our stuff, mostly the stuff in the attic. And it's a massive amount of stuff and it's insane and it's overwhelming. And for a while, it was actually a good thing. Like, it was a process that we were enjoying, and working together has been really wonderful. And it was sometimes a bit of a burden, but also kind of a cool thing to be doing. And then it just hit the effing wall. We just couldn't anymore. And we had to, we thought.
Yeah.
But we didn't have the energy for it or the emotional desire or any of it. And it was like, what the? And Katie, you and some other wonderful friends of ours, multiple people really just chimed in to say like, you know, you can hire people to do that. Not only can you, but you should, because that's what they do. Yeah. Right, and it was just like, so A, it was just, you know, coming up against don't do anything you don't have energy for if it's at all possible to not do it.
Right.
Oh, what? And then run and grinding that up against like deep, deep conditioning from both of our families, both Rami and me, of no, you do it yourself. You can't afford to pay people to do things. You do it yourself.
Right.
And that, like, that's not just a simple little idea. That's a very deep rooted, like,
yep,
makes me want to cry level of like, whoo, that's, you know, that's both of our families.
And in there.
And in there. And it's genetic. I mean, it's epigenetic. It's not just my parents. It's their parents. It's my familial line.
Right. And this is why, this is literally why people like me do multidimensional energy healing work, is not because just because it's woo-woo and that's interesting. It's because it's like to get at the epigenetic level, you can't just talk therapy, understand it with your brain.
Yeah, there's some other stuff needs to get rooted out, cleaned.
Yeah, and I say that for the listener, not at, I don't mean to say that at you. You
know, no, but I don't feel that.
Yeah.
You know, and like you said it very, very clearly and specifically. Rami shared some of the voice message that you had sent, memo that you'd sent them, and I was very,
yeah,
really awesome to hear. And then without really getting into the details, I had shared some of this with Denise, and she also kind of, I'd say, channeled a lot of this almost word for word.
Oh, wow.
The same information you were saying.
Yeah.
Like just word for word. Like this is, you know, this is your family. This is conditioning. This is what we've been, this is going back far. This is stuff you can release. This is stuff you can let go of.
Yep.
Energetically, you know, like, word for word. So it's just like, you know, just confirmation that like it's coming from a,
yeah,
this is wisdom that's coming from all the places.
That's great.
So thank you.
That's great. Oh God. It's my pleasure. It's been a delicate line to walk, where I actually said this to Rami months ago when they were in Ashland, and not ready to hear it. I think it was a little too soon.
Me too. Denise said the same thing to me. And you probably said the same thing to me, and neither of us are ready to hear it. It was not the time. We needed to go through this, the part of it that we needed to go through.
Yep. Yep. And that's another little thing for the listener is there's a little saying I like, you know, all the systems I've been through and all the stuff I've studied, and even if a thing turns out to be a toxic system, they might offer some brilliant gems. You know, exactly. Just take what works and leave with it. Take what you like and leave the rest. But anyway, they said, when you tell people something they're not ready to hear, it comes at you with comes back at you with daggers attached.
Yeah.
And you know, in this case, the daggers were very minimal. There was no painful daggering, but it's just people are ready when they're ready and they're not when they're not. And you can't, none of us can push the river of that.
Mm-mm.
And we may want to, but
yeah. But we have to say it and then just hope that, you know, that seed later on gets through, maybe if it needs to.
Or we wait and we just wait for the right, just suss it out. You know, who knows?
Yeah.
You know, as long as you got people that are compassionate on both sides of a conversation, you can like, again, that's another example of like starting from the thing we were talking about before. It's like, we don't have to do this shit perfectly.
Uh-huh.
Like part of how we learn how things work is you just sort of bump up against the edges incorrectly and go like, oh, here's the middle.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, okay. So this is good.
Back to the podcast.
Well, no, what else is there?
Oh, no. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, so like, you know, you started to say just now there's just been a lot. I feel like a lot for you. I know my whole deal, which we can get into later. Mine's the same old shit. I'm healing stuff and then I'm healing more stuff. But there's other things. But so let's see if we touched on all of it. It's, I mean, can you share a little bit more? Because I feel like if I put myself in the position of the listener, it's like there's so much for all of us to learn and glean from how you guys have been doing relationship, how you're uncoupling in a certain, like you're doing it in such a unique way on so many levels that I feel like there's a lot of useful content there.
Sure. Thank you for asking. I would say, well, if we go back, whatever, some months, right around the time that we probably recorded our last, I don't remember if we even got to this in our last episode some months ago.
I don't think so.
You know, Rami and I, you know, we've been legally married for 22 years, and so, you know, separated of sorts for like 7 or 8 years or whatever, however long Rami's lived in New York. And always and still staying married. And there have been discussions in the past about, oh, you know, we should get a divorce. No, let's not. And that was more me clinging to, no, I refuse. Let's keep doing it how we're doing it. But then it just reached a new point of Rami bringing.
Real quick, I'm sorry. When you say separated of sorts, you mean, I'm going to say what I think you mean, and then you tell me if I'm off. It's like the romantic part of things was sort of clearly coming to a close.
Uh-huh.
And you guys shifted into like, we're sort of soulmate best friends, or we're like this deep partnership of partners, but we're not romantic lovers.
Yeah.
But we're not going to disentangle the legal piece yet, because as you're saying right now, you didn't want to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was not willing to. And to be honest, that's out of a sense of like, maybe we'll get back to what it was in some form in the future.
Okay.
And that's my own journey to have navigated. You know, I've come to terms with that significantly. But more recently, Rami was, you know, and they can tell their own story and maybe on a future episode, but they were going through some unhappiness around just feeling like it's not, there's something wrong. You know, life is not what it should be.
Yeah.
And finally they brought it up again. And that time I just was like, yeah, like it was simple. It was, it wasn't a knife in the gut. It was a weird, just kind of a resigned energy of like, of course.
Yeah.
So that felt right. You know, it felt like that is the good choice. And so now what do we do with that? And the biggest piece of that is this house. You know, it's a large house, multiple dwellings. There's people who live here. We are their, you know, landlords slash property manager. You know, it's a whole thing, and it's a gift to us to have, because it helps to allow us to pursue our life as artists, you know, because it subsidizes that. But it also is, I've been thinking about the word anchor and what a great metaphor an anchor is, because it's twofold. It roots you and it keeps you in place. It keeps you stuck. It roots you and it keeps you there.
Yeah.
So you're like, oh, that's great. Oh, but it's also holding me in place.
Yep.
So, you know, first step is to cut this anchor. And
yeah,
do it in a way that sets us up in a wonderful way. You know, we have this piece of property, and property is worth something. And so we've been going through the process of exploring all these different avenues of how to maximize our life in getting rid of the house. You know, get good money for it, things like that. And you, Katie, hooked us up with some incredible people who are our real estate folk, and they're just amazing, and they get us, they get the space. It is a unique house. It is a unique spiritual story. It is a unique emotional story. It is a unique location. Like, everything about it is weird, wonderful, not obvious, you know, and so being able to honor that, having people come in that helped us to honor that while still kind of being like, yeah, and also let's get you some money for this house, is incredible. So
yeah,
the first time we met them, it's a couple. First time we met them in person, they came and we talked to them and walked them around the space and had a great conversation, and they left and we both just burst into tears, like sobbing, massive, just guttural tears, mostly out of like relief slash being seen, being held also, but it also made it very real. Like, this is happening.
Right.
This is happening. But it was not a sad cry. It was just an everything cry.
Aww.
But a big part of it was feeling like, oh, good. Thank God. We're so held.
Wow.
You know, so, and that continues to happen. There's been some incredible moments of this house continues to have its own spiritual story. So.
What do you mean by that?
I mean, it just keeps, it feels like the house is doing things to take care of us. And I'm just, unfortunately, I think the biggest story is not for public consumption. So I'm like, oh, no, I'm going to hold on to that one. Just a problem will arise, or a challenge will arise. Someone will need something that we will have to provide. And then some other part of the house goes, oh, it's right here. And like, you know, if it's financial, but then there was a thing that was worth something, and that paid for that thing. And like, it didn't ever have to actually, like the house took care of it. It was like the house reached into its pocket and goes, I got this one, you know, and it's been doing that emotionally too, in a lot of the ways. Like, I feel like having you having brought the real estate people to us, the realtors to us were, you know, it's not necessarily the house, that's us, but like that the house is like, no, not them, not them, them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
It's a self-selecting space. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Mm-hmm. So the relationship, so coming back to like,
oh yeah, the relationship changes. Part.
So it changed in a way 8 or something years ago, and then it's changing again in that there's a legal divorce occurring, so the marriage itself will be dissolved and then the house is being sold.
Yeah.
And so that's huge for you on more than just the obvious, just the, geez, the change of it and the hugeness of that, but also like,
yeah,
the implications for what that means about like where you live, question mark?
Yeah, exactly. I, at first I was like starting to make plans, like make decisions or try to make decisions about my future. And then I kind of put the brakes on that.
Yeah.
Because I was like, the blessing of this house is the fact is I am set up to be able to like pay rent somewhere for a while and, you know, and live off, you know, and not freak out about where I'm living as long as I can find a place to live. But I didn't want to like make any big plans while I'm still dealing with processing the house.
Yeah.
Once the house sells and the money is moved and we've got that, then I can be like, okay, now what do I want to do?
Yeah. Cause so you co-own it.
We co-own it.
Okay.
Yes. We're
like you put money into it.
Yes.
I see. And together you own the property. And so
that is right.
You're sharing what comes out of the sale.
That's correct.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
And then, so that'll give you a cushion to make whatever choice.
Yeah. I mean, the fact is I'm okay. Like I'm going to be financially fine and I have enough of a cushion of life that I can, you know, I've been living rent free for 20 years.
Yeah.
Which is an insane blessing.
Yeah.
Maybe not 20 years, maybe like 16 years, but still I've been living rent free for a number of years.
Yeah.
You know, working for that rent, you know, doing all kinds of stuff, but not having to pay rent.
Being the landlord and fixing stuff and
Yeah. And so that's a huge shift in my reality. Like, oh, now I actually have to do things in a different way.
Right.
So it has also kicked my butt into like, oh, what do I want to actually be doing? Even though I'm in my early 50s here or mid 50s but I'm still looking at what is Act 3?
Yeah.
And as Denise said, oh, you'll get to make decisions for the first time in your life. And I was like, I mean, feeling really, I felt red, like I got red for filth a little bit, but also like seen and deeply truth.
Yeah.
Everything's always not necessarily come to me, but it's been laid out in front of me for me to choose.
Interesting.
Rather than me going, I want to do X, A, B, or C, you know, like, and going after something. I haven't ever had to like create anything to choose.
Wow. That's interesting.
Yeah. You know, grad school, it was the only school that offered me a spot. And so that's where I went, you know, and then even this house, it's because I was in relationship with Rami and moved in and then their mom passed away and we took over the house, you know, all the things. Like they've all kind of come because of where I was and what I was doing, but not because I pursued something or went after something or made a big decision about something.
Got it. Interesting. I wonder if that'll continue.
Maybe. I mean, the only thing that keeps bubbling up for me, and I'd love to talk more about it at some point, if not now.
Yeah.
Is I can't shake the idea that I'm actually supposed to now be teaching college.
I love that idea for you.
Yeah. But like a significant position, not just like teaching a class once a week, you know, but like finding a position.
Yeah.
At a college somewhere. I'd have no idea where.
Would you be open to it being elsewhere?
Yes.
Yeah.
The first version of this came up because
FAFSA, right?
I started thinking about my parents. Yeah. And
they're
in their 80s and they're doing great, but they're in their 80s. And like, oh, what if there was a community college near them that had a theater department that needed an amazing human to come up and take over and teach them rural youngins what theater is all about. You know,
yeah, for sure.
And there is, they don't need me right now, but, you know, starting that process. But so that's what sort of kicked that idea into gear. And then I was like, that is something I want to do. Oh, shit. That's what I want to do.
Huh.
It's weird to think about that in your 50s because most people who start teaching college start doing it in their 30s, you know, and
whatever is whatever.
And I just hope I, you know, can impress upon them how amazing I would be at that.
Yeah, for sure. Well, so, but okay. So you're saying you'd like it if it were up there, but you're open to it being elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But that level of it is still a little squishy because I just haven't chased it down enough yet because my head is too full with the present.
Yeah. Yeah. There's some stuff I could help you with about places you can fill out like a single application that gets sent to like all the California school. I can hook you up with
someone. I love that. I actually was thinking about hiring someone in our community who I know has worked at some like different universities around the country even.
Yeah.
And she had expressed a little bit of like, yeah, let me help you out with this one little piece, like, let me look at your resume type of thing. And I started thinking about her and I was like, you know what? I should actually pay her to mentor me in this process.
There you go.
So, and there you go. That's paying somebody to do a thing instead of thinking you have to do it all yourself.
Right. 100%.
So.
Yep. It's a big game changer when you can kind of integrate that into your reality.
Yeah.
Because we're just one person. It's too hard to do all things.
I still am going to fight you on that. I feel, you're right. I'm not really going to fight you on that, but I feel myself, that's so deep. Like, I just sit there and go, well, but I mean, we should be able to.
Sure. Self-sufficiency is the ultimate kind of American ideal. I can and should and gotta do it.
Yeah.
That sort of, yeah. I get it. I understand. I understand. This is the gift of having had a very sensitive body for a long time is I had to learn delegation early because I can't. I didn't like to tell anybody I couldn't. So I would just like hire people in the background and just not tell people about it because I'd be like, it looks like I did all this.
Yeah.
So I had like pride and fear of admitting the vulnerability of it, but I really didn't have a choice in a lot of ways. So anyway, I hear you. It's a deep one. But it's definitely work throughable and you're doing it. And so you've got that huge life shift and then you've got, and then like, I don't know if you're open to sharing, we don't have to, but I'll ask just cause like, we're kind of catching me and everybody up on like these sea changes. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you and Denise are friends.
Yeah, we are very close friends. We're not calling each other boyfriend and girlfriend anymore. We are, you know, navigating the moment of like, how do you choose to just be with somebody when you choose to be, but not out of any kind of, it's kind of like the podcast. Like, it's like.
Okay. I don't know how we're going to transition into this little thing I want to teach here. Let me think. What were we talking about before that then?
I will say this, coming back online, let's just be honest. We just edited out some stuff, y'all. And I will say that there's an imbalance in our levels of like what we want from our romantic connection right now.
Mm-hmm.
Or what we're called to at any given time. No shade, no shame. Nobody is doing anything wrong. We're just where we're at and what we want right now is not in sync.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And we are spending time together and we love each other. We talk every day and it's all that is great.
So you're really good friends and it's not shared vision for what you want romantically.
Yeah. And I would say that in the moment, like in the right now.
I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know if I can explain it any further.
As opposed to in the future.
Yeah. It's not, we're not even talking about the future. We're just talking about the present.
Isn't that all there is?
Yes. You're right. That is all there is.
Okay. Anyway, given that the reason we're saying these sentences here is you started to talk about that and I was watching how you're talking about it and not talking about it. And then I was watching how I would frame it so differently. And that made me think about these things called the variables in our human design charts. Some of this is just you're protecting other people's whatever, and some of it is you yourself are in a place of transition with it.
Yeah.
But some of it, I think, has to do with these variables, which I just want to share for the sake of the listener to provide some. Yeah, I just want to. So the variables, there's four arrows in anybody's chart. If you go to jovianarchive.com, listener, and you put in your birth information, you get your free human design chart, you'll notice there are four arrows around the head image of a person's chart. They go left or right, and there's four of them. The top left arrow is about digestion, or how we digest life and emotions and food. Okay, I'm getting somewhere, by the way, that has everything to do with what you were just saying. This is not a tangent off of that. I'm going to come back to some of these points, but first I'm going to tell us all what each of the four are. The bottom left variable is called environment, and it talks about the kind of environment that helps you thrive as an individual, both relationally and physically and so on. The top right variable is awareness. It talks about how you take in knowledge, think, and process information. And then the bottom right variable is manifestation. So the way you see the world and the way in which you manifest your vision. So when you were talking about how you two are relating and or not relating and the sort of even just the idea of being in open relationships that are romantic, it has a very, the more I've learned about the variables, the more I'm like, clearly I would not be someone who would be suited to this. I have all four arrows pointing left. When the arrows point left, it's active, directive, strategic. It's like, so I'll read you, for example, the top left variable, digestion, pointing left. You actively digest life. Consistency is key, and a regular schedule is your best friend. When you stick to consistency, you feel better about yourself. To-do lists, planners, daily rituals, meal planning, and routines work best for you. Now, let's say you had the top left variable, digestion, pointing right. You passively digest life. Routines make you feel suffocated. You crave spontaneity. When it comes to memory, you may not be able to recall or memorize exact details. As it relates to food, your meal schedule may change from day to day. This is normal. So you see, the right-facing arrows are receptive and more passive and more go with the flow and more open. And the left-facing arrows are very like directive. It's like this. I make a plan and I head towards it. And no. Clearly, none of this is right, wrong. This is just how people are. And the more I get to know people's arrows, I'm just like, man, that clarifies a lot.
Yeah.
And so I think
Rami and I got into this a little bit. Like we started going nerding out on the arrows and now I can't remember which I had, but.
Can I actually pull your chart up?
Yeah.
Because I'd love to see, and this might be useful. Whatever we see might be useful for the listener. Okay. So you have two left and two right.
Right. That's what I remember.
So let's just go through this real quick. So the top left variable, again, is digestion, how you digest life and food. You are active and directive. So am I. The top right arrow, I'm going to do this out, is awareness. You are left facing arrow. So you're active and directive. So let's read that. Top right variable, awareness, pointing to the left. You have an intentional and strategic mind. You think in patterns, logic, and statistics. Traditional schools and standardized tests are built for your type of awareness. Meh. Your thoughts are fact-based. You don't like ambiguity and may think in a very black and white way. Whereas if you had some...
I mean, that's true-ish. Yeah.
Right. But let's balance it with the other two that you have that are not that way. And then you'll... The ish probably arises in the... other two. But let's, for the listener, if your top right arrow is pointing to the right about awareness, you have a more receptive awareness. It might not be super easy for you to memorize facts and details. By the way, I have a left and it's not easy for me to memorize either. But you may make intuitive connections between things. You also likely sense deeper meanings behind things. Sometimes it feels as though your thoughts are all over the place, but they make sense to you. This feels very Rami to me, by the way.
Yeah, I think we share this.
You are known to think in an artistic, creative way. No, I think Rami has right. You have left.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yours is strategic awareness. I think Rami's, my guess would be, is not.
Okay.
But I don't know. We'd have to look.
Yeah, I forget. We were sharing some and not some, and we were like, oh, yep, yep, yep.
Yeah. Bottom right corner is manifestation. And so you have passive manifestation. which we'll read that. It's pointing to the right. You're a non-specific manifester. It's important to know how you'd like to feel. Identify what outcome you desire and set yourself to that frequency. It benefits you to be more general. Next, allow the steps to unfold and God or the divine or the universe or life to surprise you with the details.
That one is the one for both Rami and I that we have in common. And it fucking like sort of shattered our in a good way, like shattered the like or pulled away the fog of like, like the laws of manifestation are very clear.
Right.
You make a specific decision, you make a vision board, and you put a picture of the thing you're going for, and you write it out, and you make a plan, and you say exactly what it is.
Right, right. And that's, you know what my guess is?
And you're tortured to fail at that.
Sure, because you know what that means is somebody, whoever wrote those fucking manifestation books had left-facing arrows here.
Exactly.
Or thought they should.
Yeah, and as soon as I just...
Let me just get the last sentence.
Yes.
Next, allow the steps to unfold and the universe to surprise you with the details. The delays and detours may be something intriguing, as the big picture is the focus, not necessarily how you get there.
Yeah.
Whereas, just for those who are with me on this one, bottom right, manifestation pointing to the left. I'm a specific manifester. I'm the type of person who loves envisioning my future in detail. It's important I'm crystal clear on the details. You could do this by vision board, placing an order with expectation that it will indeed come. You may notice you have a need to control things. You think? Okay, then. So that's so what were you going to, you were going to say something there?
No, just the feeling thing is deep. How do you want it to feel?
Yeah.
Rather than what do you want it to look like?
I think that's good advice in general, how you want it to feel. Just like what this arrow talks about is like specificity or generalness.
Yeah.
Yours is general.
Mine is general. But even doesn't it actually say a thing like look at how you want it to feel rather than how you want it to look or something like that?
No, it didn't say look. It said feel. But that sounds like an Enneagram type 3 thing.
Maybe not look, but like the difference between specificity and general had to do with feeling versus.
Yeah, but what I'm saying about that is that is good advice for all humans.
Even if your arrow is looking the other way?
Yeah, but here's why. So here's what the words said here. You're a non-specific manifester. It's important to know how you'd like to feel. Identify what outcome you desire and set yourself to that frequency.
Right.
It benefits you to be more general.
Yeah.
Next, allow the steps to unfold and the universe to surprise you with the details. Delays and detours may be something intriguing, as the big picture is the focus, not necessarily how you get there. Whereas if it was going to the left, you're a specific manifester, the type of person who envisions the future in detail. Be crystal clear on the details. Create a vision board. Place an order with the expectation that it will indeed come. You may notice you have a need to control things. So in other words, something I know being a specific manifester is it helps me a lot to know what the feeling of the thing is. It doesn't matter whether you're general or specific with regard to the feeling thing, but they're teaching you how to understand generalness by using the word feeling.
Gotcha.
Because if you think about it, like, I don't know, think about your acting career. How you want to feel is, I'm going to stab at a guess, wanted and desired and booked and creative and fulfilled.
Yeah.
Okay. So it doesn't matter if that's 4 shows at the Aurora about the Shakespeare.
Right.
What matters is it's 4 plays a year where you feel that way.
Yeah.
That's the point. Whereas with me, it totally matters. It has to be at the Aurora, this kind of play, with these kind of people. Otherwise, yeah. No thank you.
Yeah.
That's the difference. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. The last one, just so for anybody listening for whom this might be relevant, is we have the, which one did we not look at? The bottom left, I think.
Bottom left.
Bottom left is environment. This arrow helps show you the type of environment that will help you thrive. The environment in question encompasses the place where you are physically or mentally, where you are physically or mentally. So yours is to the right. You are adventurous and thrive on mixing it up. Exploring new environments brings you much creativity and inspiration. Moving around and traveling will turn on your creative flow. Your truest inspiration comes from exploration. You want an RV. You're here to be an observer. As you wander around, you'll grow and learn as you watch other people who are integrated into their communities. It's a little bit opposite of what you've been doing.
Yeah. 20 fucking years in the same address. Yeah.
And then here's me pointing to the left environment. This arrow signifies that you enjoy a consistent and structured environment. You like being connected to familiar places and being grounded. For example, when traveling, you may notice this coming home is what will ground you.
This is a woman who moved once a year for 4 years. We were both kind of struggling against our arrows for a while.
Well, it's like I always was this way at those places. Like wherever I went, I was very much like into my familiar environment and I was into the same four restaurants and like whatever. But
yeah.
Anyway. So that's a little tiny bit about the variables in people's charts. And I brought it up again just because the way you were starting to talk about some of your relational stuff, I was like, I wonder how much of that has to do with being a non-specific manifester or a non-specific, let's see, let me remind myself. Right-facing arrows are in environment and manifestation for you. Environment and manifestation, how you bring things about. So maybe not.
Yeah.
But it's a cool topic anyway.
No, I mean, we have different, well, maybe no, because I am specific in the other one. What is the other two?
Yeah, awareness and digestion.
Yeah, like the digestion, maybe. I don't know which one kind of refers to like love and partnership and stuff. But
well, it's more about how you process your love and partnership stuff. None of these are about partnership. They're about processes.
Right.
So how you're digesting the thing with any given partner, it's going to be more active and directive and specific.
Yeah.
Whereas other people might be more nebulous or flowy or general.
Yeah. And I've tried to be nebulous in general. I try and embrace that a lot, but actually I do want clarity, even though I'm like, it's okay to be whatever, but also I crave, cool, just tell me what we're doing.
Yep. Yep. That's a common one.
So I know what to expect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just works for you. Huh. All right.
So many things.
We're caught up on you.
Let's talk about the podcast. I would love to ask what Katie's been up to for the last 4 months.
Yeah. And I mean,
what's been happening?
I will. And I think the last thing I want to say about the podcast before I shift into me stuff is just there's like a call inside me to something. We need some other structural something each time. And I'm kind of feeling like, here's my first impulse, and I want to hear your thoughts about it. And also, if you're listening to this, you have thoughts about it, tell me what they are. Please write in wherever you can write in. Email us at
allanswerspod@gmail.com.
Or put a comment below wherever you're seeing this. I keep thinking about it would be cool if there were just one chunk of teaching an idea, offering concrete information. Like what I just did, that was one little chunk of here's what the arrows are.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's us relating to it and responding to it and sharing about it and taking questions and whatever else. So that we're delivering something that is for the people.
Yeah.
And then we're just being us in response to it.
Yeah. I mean, do you think that is like that we try and bring in at least one specific like teachable topic every day, and then maybe our stories and personal reality will go around that? Or like you'd say, I want to talk about the arrows today, so let's make sure we get to the arrows today. Do you want to show up with that level of like one of us has a fallback teaching topic? Is that what you're suggesting?
No, I'm suggesting I come in with something to teach.
Great.
And we discuss.
Cool.
That's what I'm suggesting. But if you have ideas around
that, I can always send something your way if I have an idea, but it's mostly going to be your ideas. Your ideas, you swim in those oceans. So
that's the thing is like the whole impetus of this whole thing was like, we started this podcast with like, I want to share these ideas and I want to teach these concepts. And so I also have a real impetus within me that like, if we're putting content in the world, it has to be offering something that is for them specifically. Now absolutely. That's just because that's what I need. That's not like the right thing to do. That's just like what I need to do.
Yeah. And I think we sometimes have like sort of relied on, well, our stories become relevant and somebody's going to get something out of everything. And most of the time we do end up on a specific topic or a specific teachable thing that emerges. But there have also been plenty of times where we've just been like telling stories and that might resonate with somebody.
Right.
And I totally agree, you know, because I actually do crave specificity in my...
So it was like, for a while, we thought the guest would be the structure around which we would respond.
Yeah.
But that wasn't quite the right fit because I'm so specific. I would want certain kinds. I would want like a certain kind of guest. But then neither of us is out there interested in or having energy for finding those people. But when they arise, we can bring them in.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's my idea for that. That's the last piece I wanted to say about that. And if the listeners, if you have thoughts and feelings about that, share them if you wanna. Okay, how the hell would I possibly catch you up on what's happening with me?
You had just bought the house.
Had we?
I think you had.
Okay.
That was the last thing they were left with was we're buying a house.
Holy shit. God. Yeah, well, we bought this house and here we are living in it.
Thanks. It's been a great episode. This has been Katie and Cassidy.
Good to talk to you. We went to Albuquerque to see my dad for Thanksgiving and support him after a surgery he had. And while we were gone, we had our tile floors throughout the house demolished, removed, and then what was under them was raw concrete floors, which we had revealed and then polished and stained. This was quite a process that we were very happy to not be here for.
Yeah.
Because it was mega. But it meant that we'd have people take all of our earthly possessions, put them in a pod outside on the yard, put the small items in the garage. It's a lot of stuff. And we had a lot of help. We hired a lot of people because thank you for that. That's our like one of our topics of today is asking for the help you need. And working enough to make money to be able to hire these people, right? That's an important piece. It's not like we can just, you know, that falls from the sky or something.
Yeah.
Anyway, so it was a big undertaking. It happened while we were gone. We came back to new floors, which was great. Since we've been back, we've been like putting the baseboards back on, had to hire someone to do that, putting the closet doors back on in every room because they got shifted because the floors are different. Touching up paint everywhere. We had to have the house cleaned top to bottom by 5 people at once because it was so covered in dust. Lots of housey shit. And that's been happening. Meanwhile, I had my back injury. I hurt my back, as you know, a bunch of weeks ago. And then, oh my God, so much healing and integration from that. I discovered, oh God, maybe 2 months ago, I had a huge meltdown around I am officially in perimenopause and like a bunch of symptoms all at once just became overwhelming. And then I listened to a bunch of podcasts with a bunch of doctors and was like, oh, that's me. That's me. That's what I'm. Oh. And it was like, check, check, check. Like I have all the things.
Yeah.
And it was very helpful because then I was like, hi, Kaiser normal doctor. I think I need my first Western medical intervention that I'm excited about, which is hormones.
Yeah.
And they have arrived and I have started taking them. And so far, so damn good. It's just a few days into that. That's been a journey. Lots of NET and off-grid weird ass processing with witch Dr. Lisa, who we should have on here and talk with her about things. Lots of sort of more, I would say, typical, normal therapeutic integration work. I had an upset that I shared. Well, I was talking with Rami about this today that feels relevant to the podcast. I get these yeses and nos, like conscious awareness, psychic, whatever we want to call it. Yes, no, with my head going one way or the other for the yes or the no. For about 5 weeks, everything I got was wrong. If it was about me, it was wrong. It was like off. And I was starting to write a narrative in my head. This is another teachable moment about like, when things are off, it's so easy to just like, for me, I just go, I like, it'll happen like before I've even seen it happening. I'm writing a narrative to survive it that is actually an incorrect narrative. So everything was, I was getting wrong guidance left and right. And so the narrative I wrote was like, I guess whatever healing work I've done my entire life has gotten me to this moment. So I guess I'm just integrated in a new way. And maybe I'm like an earth person now. And I just don't do psychic shit. And I just don't have that anymore. And that's just not part of me. And it felt really bad to think that that was true. But I also have been through so many things in my life where it has to feel bad because it's just part of growth, feeling bad. And then it feels good on the other side. So I was like, I guess this is just something I have to grow into. And I guess I just don't do anything like that anymore. And I was like buying in and just, but it wasn't sitting right.
Yeah.
And it was like a narrative I was writing in the back of my mind. I hadn't like brought it to the foreground to really deal with it. And then I was in session with Lisa and I said, you know, I don't get yeses and nos anymore. They're always wrong. And she was like, oh yeah, they probably flipped. Let's flip them back. And I go, what? She goes, sometimes the body goes through enough shifts and changes at once that your nervous system kind of switches your yeses and nos.
Oh.
And I was like, what?
So you're like, getting your head to the right means no now. And damn it, I thought it meant yes all this time.
Well, left has always been yes and right has always been no. And then I was trusting it and it was leading me astray.
Yeah.
And I was so confused. So she had me touch this and do that and bend over here. She goes, how do you feel now? And then I was like, I feel amazing and so much lighter. And then I asked a bunch of questions and it was back.
Wow.
We just asked, like, is my name Katie Rubin? Yes. But, you know,
yeah.
You ask like easy, small questions where the stakes are low and it's been back. And I'm like, I have been off for so many weeks. And I was assuming I was just a different person now and it was not feeling good. So I'm so glad I asked her. She's like, oh yeah, that happens to me all the time. It flips, you flip it back. I'm like,
That's incredible.
That was very cool. That's that. My dad had a surgery. He's doing great. I was worried for him. He's fine. We're going down to LA to see Eric's family for Christmas. Then we'll go back to Albuquerque to see my dad for Christmas and see my sister. And we had like, this relates to you. We had like all these people around for Thanksgiving. It was like my sister and her girlfriend and me and Eric and my dad and two of their friends. And it was like festive and fun and light. And I was like, right, it's so fun to have more than four bodies around. Like if you just have the same four bodies around all the time, you run out of shit to talk about. There's only so much you can fucking talk about.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
That was a big good shift for us. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. We actually ended up canceling our Thanksgiving with my family because it was going to end up just being four people.
There you go.
And we were like, what's the point? The two of us driving 4.5 hours to, you know, have a dinner with my parents. Like, it just didn't.
Right.
It didn't work anymore.
Yeah. It's very fun because it was never a priority in my life before. I kind of wanted the space and the small family thing.
Yeah.
And now I'm all like community, connection, family, which is an astrology thing. It's my north node. My south node is in Aries. North node is in Libra. For the listener, the south node is where you're coming from in your life. And the north node is where you're going. So my whole second half of life is about Libra.
Right.
Connection, community, beauty, family, togetherness, love. It was not about that before.
Does that line up with like your 6'2"? No, whatever it is you are. You're jumping off the roof thing.
6'2", for sure. Yeah, in the sense that like coming off the roof, you know, oh God. Well, I mean, in a sense, it lines up. In another sense, it's sort of entirely a different topic. If that makes sense.
Sure.
Yeah. We had already talked about, like, I'm no longer staging, right?
I think you were talking about it shifting maybe the last of the listeners heard. But yeah, you have dissolved that business.
Yeah. And in fact, today, the person who I ended up selling that one huge storage unit full of stuff to one person.
Wow.
She bought the whole thing and she made the second payment today and she got all the shit out of there today.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's got to feel like it.
Oh,
taking a good shit.
Oh, such a big dump.
Oh, God. That feels huge. I'm so curious about that. What's going to happen to my guts when we actually sell the house?
Oh God, that's going to be fascinating.
Like, I don't know. I don't know who I am.
It's kind of exciting, don't you think?
It's very exciting. Most of the time, I am giddy with anticipation. And some of the time, I am freaking the fuck out about security and future and all the possibilities. And then I'm like, dude, you're so fucking taken care of. You are fine.
And you always have been.
You are held. Oh, my God. Make some choices. You'll be fine. Do it. Have an amazing time. If you're going to have privilege, at least enjoy it.
Dude, exactly. That's great.
Wield it for good and enjoy it.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Rock on.
Yeah.
Well, that's clarifying.
Not to make it back about me, but just that idea of movement and freedom is like, because you put your whole self into that.
Oh, I sure did. Yeah. You mean the business?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
How are you feeling about being a healer?
Okay. So
are you back online with it?
Okay. What a journey that's been.
Yeah.
It's a good question. Yes. I'm trying to think of the most condensed way to sort of tie that up in some kind of bow that makes any sense to anyone but me. I was out of balance with it. And I have a thing where I need to take vacations that are consciously fully vacations. Like I need to, it's very important that I build in like for sure, for real, I'm not working during these weeks that I'm off. Like I have to take actual vacations. I say that because the longer I go without doing that, the heavier the burden of helping people through their deepest shit becomes.
Mm.
But then if I take vacations where I'm just a person and if I build in the right kind of balance in my life, it's a pleasure and an honor. But I was really putting a lot of stress on myself, like particularly like living up in New York when I was there, I was paying such high rent that I had to see so many clients and do so many classes. And there was this have to pressure thing again.
Yep.
To try to fit in the mold of like, I'm a wealthy lady who does wealthy shit. And it was just like, I was so glad to leave that because the pressure was too much. And then I needed time off. And I also needed to do a bunch of integrating of my own, which the last couple, like the last year and a half or however long it's been since I've been back in California have been a fair amount of that. And then like the staging was like there's a thing in my chart. There's a channel that's about, I can't remember the name of the channel, but it talks about inevitabilities. In other words, there's something with this channel where it'll be like, the person with this channel will be like, oh, I have to do that thing and I will do that thing. And then they do that thing. Like it has to happen. The staging thing was in my body since Colorado. It was there for 3 years. It had to happen. It was like, I have to do this. And then I did it and I was good at it. And I was really proud of it. And in doing it, I discovered like, oh, this is a fun, cool thing I can do, but it's not like the thing I'm here to do. Like, mm-hmm. It's not the thing. It's a thing.
Yeah.
And it's a fun thing and it's an empowering thing. And I needed to do it, but then it needed to be done. And that was an inevitability. That's the best way I can explain that. It's like inside of me, I felt like, oh, I have to do this. And then I did it. And then I was like, I have to stop. And then I stopped. And now I'm like sitting here like, oh, I just am a healer. You know what I'm saying?
I do. There's something in you that I admire so much and I'm also terrified of. not in you, but I'm terrified of the idea of doing it this way. You don't dabble. You refuse to dabble.
Yeah.
You won't. And because I want to dip my toe in it. Maybe this will work. Let me try this. Let me try that.
Right.
And I like, nah. Or yeah, I kind of like this. You go, you know, I think I need to move.
Yeah.
Colorado. I think I might need to leave. You know.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I think I'm good at this. I'm going to start an entire fucking business and do it for 3 years and then shut it down. I'm going to fully produce a play like top to bottom. I'm not just going to rent, you know, the local little space and put it on with, you know, prop with a couple of props and a black table. Like I'm going to fully produce a play and start a theater company and, you know, do a ribbon cutting with the city and like I'm going to establish this thing 100%.
Yeah.
To see if it's what I want to do.
Yeah.
And our listeners have gone on this journey with you, so they know. They've all been sitting back going, wow, Katie, you just did a whole thing. But, you know.
Yeah.
And I don't even know if you see it that way when you're doing it, but that's how it looks from the outside, like 100%.
That's great.
In order to test the theory.
Well, yep, that seems right. The way I would say it is when I go into it, it has more of a feeling of, less a feeling of testing the theory. It's always like after I've tested the theory, I go, oh, I was testing a theory. But in the doing of it, it's a feeling of this must occur.
Right.
I'm called, I'm driven, I'm yanked forward by an energy that's like, you'll do this now.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, we're doing it. Like, I must do it.
I'm in awe of that level of clarity and vision. And I'm in awe of it. I've never felt anything like that. That's the I've never made a decision part. Like,
right.
It's more like, oh, I'll go to school. Okay. Yeah. I'll go to school. Oh, I'll move back to California. Oh, okay. I'll move to New Mexico. Oh, okay. Move back to California. Sure.
Right.
Like it's the opposite end of that thing.
But that kind of sounds like response to me.
Yeah. It may have to a lot to do with our arrows.
Well, but strategy and authority. So your strategy is respond.
Oh, that response thing.
Your strategy is not initiate. Like manifesting generators, I'm not, you know, are you one? Hold on.
Yes.
You are a Manny-Gen.
Manny-Gen.
Yeah, but you only have, yeah, see, that makes sense. So I'm looking at your chart. You only have your emotional center and your sacral motor defined.
Right.
Connected to the throat. You don't have, oh, you don't have a G center defined?
I have shit defined.
Or the root.
Throat and sacral and what other?
Emotional.
And emotional.
Okay. So, I mean, that's what that is. That it's, you don't have like 80 engines in you that are like, go now, go. That I'm trying to.
Right. And I judge myself for that because this is what we do. This is.
Yes.
And like, I'm even trying to describe your process without judgment. Like, it just is that process. It's not that like,
right.
What the fuck is wrong with Katie?
Yeah.
She's starting these businesses and then burning them to the ground.
No.
And I judge myself for not having that clarity of vision. Like, God damn, what the hell's, I'm just floating along, like responding to my environment.
But that's why I'm pointing out your chart is to say that it's actually potentially quite correct for you. That's what you are. That's how you're built.
Yeah.
Also, let's see here. I'm looking at your incarnation cross. Your cross has the energy and drive to go and explore the world, but it really isn't just about you. This is the energy that compels you to bring others along on your exploration. This is the force that led us out of the Garden of Eden. The energy also has ties to art and bringing expression into form. This cross could go through a period of sadness as there's a lot in the world that is not Eden-like. But fear not the drive to lead or share. Your sense of exploration will come through because that is what you are here to do.
Well, that's my new desire to be a full-on teacher.
Very cool.
Is tied to that. Feels very tied to that.
And also this, you know what I, tell me if this lands for you. I feel like this whole house going away thing, It's almost like thrusting you into the adventure that you're built for.
Yeah, yeah.
And the exploration. Kind of interesting. I mean, look, Cass, I look at your chart. This is not, you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 open centers. There's no, that's, I mean.
I have no fixed or reliable source of guidance.
You've got a sacral motor and
yeah, except for
words to say about it and feelings and words to say about those.
Yeah.
That's it.
You know what I should do? I should have a podcast about feelings and emotions.
If only.
If only. Interesting.
Yeah. Well, that feels like a nice wrap-up note.
That's great. I like it. Stay tuned for more teachable moments.
Inconsistently.
As we feel the fucking vibe to do it.
Inconsistently delivered.
That's our new tits. All the answers. Teachable moments, inconsistently delivered.
Inconsistently delivered. Oh, fuck, I love that. Do you think we need a new theme song?
Maybe.
We do.
Let's get someone to write us a new theme song.
Okay.
Anybody want to write us a theme song?
Email us.
allinjustpod@gmail.com.
I love you.
All the answers.
All of it.
All the answers. They're performing this weekend at the Aurora Theater.
Fun.
The writer of that song.
Cool.
I'm going to call you, actually. Maybe we want to go. Okay.
All right. Let's go. I love you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
What are you asking for? All of the answers? Say what? All of the answers? Yeah, all the answers.
Hey, guys. Thanks for listening. We'd love to hear from you. Please email us with your questions so that we have questions to answer in the Akashic Records. Our email address is allanswerspod@gmail.com. That's allanswerspod@gmail.com. And if you'd like to find us on Facebook or Twitter, it's @allanswerspod. Thank you.
So I'm just calling that out. I'd like to edit that little chunk out.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.
Oh my God. We did it. We did it. Diddle boop boop bow. Shibbity bop.